Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So while we're focused on the presidential and everyone's thrilled about, you know, having so many candidates, I know I'm not. There are so many races across the country, and this is one of those moments where you go, okay, the presidential race is important. That's big. That's something we absolutely need to do. You need to take back the White House. But for me, and I've always said the Senate to me was the most important. It's where a lot of stuff, you can stop a lot of bad stuff, you can move some good stuff through, and ultimately it's where you stop really bad Supreme Court justices like Gorsuch and Kavanaugh from getting on the court. So to me, anywhere you can get a Senate seat is a good opportunity, which is why I hope some of the folks who are running for president will just go, you know what, I think I should go back to my state and maybe run for Senate. Beto, Hickenlooper, just a couple of thoughts. Bullock, a couple of thoughts. Go back to your state, run for Senate. We need you there. Which is why I was thrilled to see that in North Carolina, there is someone running against Tom Tillis, who I've never been a fan of. Her name's Erica Smith. She's a third-term state senator there from North Carolina. Erica, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I am good. So let me ask you, why do you want to throw yourself into this mess? I mean, first question I ask every candidate, why do you want to do this?
Because we're at a time in our nation, Rick, where every Christian ought to be downright embarrassed. Every legislator should be more committed to make sure that they are doing their part to get our state and nation moving in the right direction. I am outraged as an American with the violations of President Trump, who doesn't appear to understand the Constitution or even follow it. Putting kids in cages down at the border, looking at our economy. North Carolina is devastated. Our farmers are really struggling. Agriculture is our number one business. And now we've had China last week say they're not going to buy any more agriculture products because of Trump's trade war. So the reason I am running to take my six-point lesson plan from the state capitol floor, I'm a former educator from the classroom floor to Capitol Hill, is because I know I have the skills, the business acumen, the integrity most of all, and the intelligence to get this state working for us.
Integrity being a key. I mean, because, you know, I'm looking at this and I keep hearing people say, you know, is Trump the new normal? And I'll tell you, I sure as hell hope not.
I hope not. If so, Houston, we're in trouble.
And the sad thing is that's not even funny.
I know, right? This is scary. This is downright scary. And I've been listening to your show and looking at what he has done. In the 24-hour news cycle, we brace ourselves to figure out what he's going to do next.
Yeah, I mean, I start every day off with, well, this is what happens, and hey, it's Tuesday. And Tuesday would be the end of any other president's legacy. It's just Tuesday in Trump world.
Right, absolutely, Rick, I agree.
So the question is, how does Erica get to the Senate and hold this administration accountable? And I pray that, you know, I pray that a Democrat wins in 2020. I fear it's not going to happen, but, you know, walk me through this. How does Erica change the world?
Okay, this is how Erica changed the world. First of all, North Carolina is a purple state.
Right.
And Tillis narrowly beat Kate Hagan. It was less than 2 percentage points.
Yep, I remember.
And so, So it was a very close race. It was a very expensive race. But this is our path to Capitol Hill. First of all, with the experience that I have and with this new changing, the new American majority, we know we had had an unprecedented number of women serving in the United States Congress. And we see that same wave for the U.S. Senate. Tom Tillis is underwater in North Carolina, and Emerson Independent Poll shows me beating the incumbent by 7 points. Now, regardless of what's going on everywhere else, never in the history of this country have we had a woman of color running against the incumbent and already beating him by 7 points. A later poll shows one of the other Democratic candidates only beating Tom Tillis by one, with the margin of error for that poll being 3. And now my point spread is growing to 9 points, beating Tom Tillis. And, of course, the Republicans know this. The GOP is afraid, and so they put up a great big billboard in North Carolina showing me with yesterday, they showing me with Ocasio Cortez, and I'm just looking at it. And
so tying you and AOC together.
Putting me, AOC, and Rashida Tlaib, and that is okay, because if I'm too liberal because I listen to constituents, I'm too liberal because I know how to work for the people that I serve. If I'm too liberal because I support background checks, universal background checks and red flag laws, that we need to finally do something about gun violence in this country. And the sad reality is Tom Tillis is bought for and operated by the NRA. We know that he's top four as a recipient.
Yeah, I was looking at his numbers.
$5 million.
Yeah, yes. The numbers were just outrageous.
Yes. And so this is how we do it, Rick. Unlike Donald Trump is not interested in building a coalition. He's totally happy with 50% plus one. But our campaign has always been about building a coalition and looking at what we have in common. Let's start off with what we can agree upon. Now, as a three-term senator, I was in a supermajority my first session, but yet the State Employees Association elected me as Freshman Legislator of the Year, as a member of the minority party, having worked in corporate America, been a member of a union. I was a member of SEIA when I was a mechanical engineer for defense and space for the Boeing Company in Seattle, Washington. I was a member of the union COPA, the Patent and Trademark Office. And I was a member of the union and still am a member of the Virginia Education Association, and by virtue of that, the National Education Association.
Right.
I understand what we have as power, the power of being workers, and workers have lost too much under this administration for us to sit this one out. It's important not only for North Carolina for me to be elected, it's important for the entire nation.
No, I'm right there with you. And, you know, the fact that labor has taken so many hits under this administration, from Janus to the most recent NLRB administrative changes, things are bad for workers. And as I pointed out, you know, at the beginning of the show, the reality is the wage gains aren't there. I mean, we've seen unemployment at historic lows, and that's good, but we haven't seen wage increases. In fact, you know, as I pointed out, my hometown of Cleveland, you know, the highest poverty rate it's had since the Great Recession, even higher than the Great Recession. And half of those people who are still below the poverty line work full time. It tells me that work does not pay anymore. And that's because, well, we've allowed unions to be attacked and assaulted and broken.
Right. And it's the quality of jobs. It's no benefits, yep. Rick, that are a problem. And unfortunately, there's no longer a livable wage because we're still at $7.25.
Yeah. So does this sell in North Carolina?
Yeah. Yes. And so that's what's ridiculous, $7.25. And so people can't live off of that. Most people have multiple jobs. My fellow educators have to work two and three jobs just to make ends meet.
No, I agree with you 100%. But does this message sell in North Carolina? Because we're told, you know, North Carolina is part of the South, and the South hates unions and all of that. Does this sell there?
Well, Barack Obama won North Carolina, if that says anything. And North Carolina is still a right-to-work state. However, we have a powerful teachers association. I am so proud of the North Carolina Association of Educators because... And you know, they have independent-minded voters. They're standing up, and they're demanding more. And so all we have to do is just make the case of why this is what's best for all of us. The middle class has been shrinking. The working class has been shrinking. And we're tired of not having the salary growth and growing in some of these rural areas. Of course, you know, North Carolina is number two behind Texas in the percentage of rural parts of the state. And so... And now we're paying more in taxes, and it's just not fair, because how are you going to take money from the working poor just to give the wealthy more?
Yeah.
The wealthy 1% don't even want this. But thanks to President Trump, this so-called Tax and Jobs Act has had people really, really struggling all the more. And people are waking up and they're saying, we're not going to accept this anymore. This is unacceptable.
I hope you're right. I mean, we've made the billionaires even wealthier while starving kids in our own country. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Erica Smith. She's a North Carolina state senator running for U.S. Senate in 2020. You can check out her website, ericaforus.com. We'll get links out. You can follow her also on Twitter at ericaforussen20. We'll also get that out. You know, Erica, what's the number one issue that you think is important to voters in your state?
The number one issue important to voters in my state is, of course, health care, access to equitable health care. No family should have to make the decision of whether or not I'm going to ration my insulin or put the next meal on the table. Prescription drug controls, affordable access, closing the health care coverage gap. North Carolina is a donor state. We have not yet expanded Medicaid, despite having all the states around us and continuing to send the money to the federal. So that's a very big issue for us. Secondly, it would be workers finding better quality jobs. I mean, it's like you said, we have unemployment rates that have gone down, but in terms of salary growth, people are struggling to make a living. And, of course, with agriculture being the number one business, agriculture is our number one business. It makes our economy work in North Carolina. So what's near and dear to my heart, having grown up on a farm, is my heart goes out to the farmers who are struggling from storm damage. We were hit by Hurricane Matthew, Hurricane Florence, and then we have falling ag commodity prices. And then on top of that, we have a trade war that we didn't create, but now farmers have to navigate Trump's trade war.
Yeah, but what do you say to the person? And look, I'm a supporter of doing something with China. I think tariffs are part of it. I think the currency manipulation is also a huge part of this. What do you do with China when you're looking at the massive trade deficits that we've had, not just during the Trump years or during the Obama years or during the George W. Bush years, but the entire period that we've had these massive and growing trade deficits? What do you do with them then?
Well, the first thing you do is you don't put it on the backs of the farmers. That's number one. And of course, you and I know how important the steel industry is. And so we have to look at what are the other partners involved with this. Korea has a role to play. So what we do is we better engage and we advance diplomacy, which is not something our president has even done within our borders. He doesn't want to be a diplomat. We're not respected. He's made America, instead of great again, he's made America hated again, and I just want to make America respected again.
No, I'm with
you. And get America working again. And how we do that is we take what was good and we enter now into better agreements and trade agreements and partnerships that benefit America.
I'm with you on that.
No, and our workers.
100%. But, you know, isn't that what Obama tried all during his term with China, and they made a bunch of promises and broke all of them?
Well, yeah, they did.
No, I mean, because this is really the only thing that, and I think Trump's going to booger it up. Trust me, I don't believe he's got a good plan here, but something has to be done. And I'm trying to find a Democrat that's going to say, okay, well, you know, the tariffs right now aren't working. It's hurting farmers. And I get that.
Right.
How do we move forward? Because we've lost 4 million manufacturing jobs in this country due to our insane trade policies with China.
Mm-hmm,
you know, how do we stop the future job losses? You know, never mind getting back the jobs we lost. How do we stop the future job losses?
I think we have to build a coalition of nations. We can't have China working with Russia and Putin and then, you know, being further exacerbated by the role that Korea is playing. And so in building a coalition, it's going to take diplomacy. It's going to take someone who understands foreign policy so that he can lead, he or she can lead and take that initiative. And when we look at the role of the U.S. Senate, that's why that's so important, that we put people there who are interested in advancing the constitutional duties of a U.S. senator and making sure that we can keep our economy going and growing and advising and consent. And so I just want to share with you, Rick, we're up against some dark money. I mean, Mitch McConnell and Tom Tillis, it's not enough that we're going up against Tom Tillis and the NRA, but we have all this dark money coming in from Mitch McConnell. They're buying up billboards everywhere. And so my principles inform my platform and my priorities. And so anyone who goes to our website and learns what we are about knows that I stand on a solid experience of being in corporate America, being a public school educator, and understanding how to maneuver the dynamics and lead on initiatives of getting workers jobs, creating jobs, and also growing salaries and making our whole state and nation work.
Now, you brought up the dark money. You brought up Putin. Money, obviously, a big part of any campaign. And I hope people will go to ericaforus.com and make a donation. I'm sure there's a place to do that. But you brought up Putin. I mean, you were dealing with not just, you know, forces here in the U.S., but forces across the globe who are very happy with this administration and the Republican Party. You know, how do you fight back against that?
First of all, our president has been compromised from before day one. He was compromised when he was campaigning. And so we have senators who will not hold him accountable. And we have Mitch McConnell and Tom Tillis who are blocking legislation to first protect our elections, to promote election security. We know that Tom Tillis and Donald Trump illegally accessed voter information and voter rolls in North Carolina through Cambridge Analytica. They should be held responsible. They should be required to do like Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg had to settle at $5 billion. Let's say Tom Tillis starts off by giving back the $5 million that he got from the NRA. And it should go to making sure that we can protect and secure our elections across the nation. That's a start. The other things that we need to do is look at holding President Trump accountable for getting pretty close to treason, if not treason itself. We've got to look at that relationship that he has with Putin, and we need to make sure that we got to vote him out. He has to be defeated. He is too compromised.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I was hoping, I was hoping that, you know, something would, a movement would come out of the Mueller probe. And if you read the Mueller investigation, there's tons there.
There's tons of impeachable offenses.
It's just we're not going to do it. But you brought up election security, and this is for me is one of the very top two issues of any election period, especially the last couple. And the way that Republicans have been behaving lately, to me, it tells me that either they're in on the game or they know the game is already rigged. I fear that, you know, all of the voter suppression that's gone on, all of the voter theft that's gone on, all of the roadblocks, all of the rigging of things, I fear that this is going to be a major roadblock for you. How do you deal with that?
Well, some of the ways that we're dealing with this voter suppression, let me go back to your earlier question and statement. Our Republicans have been complicit. The leadership has not taken a stand. And me personally, I'd like to see President Trump responsible for his actions behind the jail cell. So after we defeat him in 2020, then we hold him accountable like we would any other normal North American citizen and put him behind bars for what he's done. Now, moving forward, we are supporting legislation that will protect the absentee ballot process. Many of our county parties are looking at promoting paper ballots so that we won't have that electronic tampering as before. But we definitely, I'm glad to hear that Stacey Abrams is leading an initiative in the battleground state to promote election protections as well as looking at voter rolls, dealing with voter suppression. We had an unprecedented number of voters just totally dropped from the rolls. So I'm glad to see that there is an engagement there. Former Attorney General Eric Holder is working hard. So the wheel has already been created. We just need to make sure that we dispatch and we launch these initiatives to protect the voting process from interruption by foreign entities, whether it be Putin or anyone else. We need to make sure that this time we know that our election was compromised. We know that Russia worked very hard to get this president in office, and they are still working and supporting him. And that's why Mitch McConnell needs to advance the legislation. So what we can do right now is everybody can petition the U.S. Senate, petition your senator to pass legislation right now, knowing that the House has passed it. So all we need to do is to get the Senate to do what they are responsible for doing.
Yeah.
Once again, Rick, the U.S. Senate is very important.
No, to me, it's the most important.
Yes, it's the most important. It is the most important.
Yeah, I mean, had we taken the Senate instead of the House, we wouldn't have two really bad Supreme Court justices. And to me, that's one of the more important parts of all this. But you brought up a paper ballot there a moment ago, and it just defies logic to me that we haven't had it all along. I go to the ATM and I get a little piece of paper telling me what my transaction was, and that was just to get $20 out to go buy something at a local store. It isn't the founding bedrock. It isn't the cornerstone of our entire democracy. It's just a transaction for $20. But that I get when I cast my vote. I get nothing.
I know. You get nothing when you cast your vote. I would like to receive a receipt to make sure that my votes were counted accurately.
Yep.
We've already dealt with hanging chads. How many more elections must be compromised? And
yeah.
So I think we're wiser now, and we just need to push for the U.S. Senate to do what they're supposed to do.
There you go.
And I'm glad you brought up about making U.S. Supreme Court appointments. We know that there are going to be some big appointments probably coming up. And so it's all the more important that we take control of the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, last question I've got for you, and I ask this of all candidates. You know, there's one issue near and dear, I'm sure, to your heart. That's the one thing you don't compromise on. There's the one hill you die on. What is it?
The one that I don't give down on is education. I believe that education is about creating opportunities for the next generation to be able to achieve their dreams, the American dream. Nelson Mandela said that a quality education is the greatest civil rights tool of the 21st century. It's a solution to all the other problems within education. And I'm not saying everybody has to get a four-year degree.
Right.
By education, I mean apprenticeship programs, getting people retooling the workforce, technical schools. Now, I am STEM. I'm an engineer by training, but now as an educator, I understand that we have 21st century jobs that we haven't even created the majors for. So what I don't let down on is creating opportunities for people to become gainfully employed, and then for everyone, and to remove the barriers that stop people from salary growth, wage growth, and opportunities to achieve what they have within their God-given power to do. I believe that a good-paying job would solve a multitude of societal problems.
Agreed.
And so that's what's important. Getting people to work again.
Yep.
And getting them a livable wage so that they can take care and build a strong family, a strong community, a strong state, a strong nation.
Good stuff. Absolutely. I wish you nothing but the best. I hope you'll come back and share with us as this goes down the road. I wish you the best. I hope people take a look at your website, ericaforus.com. Make sure you throw a donation if you can. Elections are expensive.
Yeah.
Erica, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Rick. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Great stuff. Appreciate it. And again, you know, this is one of those states where you could conceivably pick up a Senate seat because, as I've been saying, the Supreme Court, incredibly important. So again, ericaforus.com, the website. Make sure you check it out. And like I said, if you can throw a donation in there, I'm sure it would be put to good use. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.